I don't think I have to tell you. That's the good stuff. Turn with me to the Bible this morning, the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. Church of Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul addresses them. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, and verse number 5. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, and verse number 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Note carefully now. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Father, bless this holy word now, Lord. This is heavy stuff. And Father, I pray they have hearts to receive it, Lord. I pray they would receive it. I pray they would receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. 2 Thessalonians is loaded, folks. I know that you're aware of the fact that some got so worked up and excited about the Lord coming back September the 23rd, and he didn't. All of this in the face of the scripture that says no man knows that hour, but they continue. The Lord is coming back. I am not one bit disappointed in the sense that I thought he was coming that day. I'm looking for his appearing, and I continue to look for his appearing. I know this for certain. I know that as every day passes, we draw closer to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt in my mind he came the first time. He will come the second. He said, I will come again and receive you to myself. But 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verses 5 through 12 that I read for you says, the Lord will destroy someone when he comes with the brightness of his coming. Now what this is, it's found in the book of Isaiah and Ezekiel. It's talking about the man of sin, the Antichrist, when he has to come face to face with the true Christ. He won't like it. For the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, will come as the heavens open, as the fire rages. Like a burning ball of fire will he approach and come into this earth, and he will consume him with the brightness of his coming. The scripture says. But now, before this message is over this morning, I hope that you get a sense of the spirit that's been on me now for about 2 weeks. I don't normally do this. I'm not one for sensationalism. I believe that that's worked to death and people are selling books and so forth. I have no use for that. But something came on me a couple of weeks ago, and it has been moving about me, and it's a spirit. It's the Holy Ghost in such a way that it's different than it has been in a long time. And what I'm going to do to you this morning is try to preach to you what's been moving in my soul, in my heart, in my spirit. Now, folks, the God that we serve this morning is Almighty God, El Shaddai in Hebrew. When I say Almighty, I mean Almighty. I mean Almighty and all-knowing. He's everything. My friend, there is nothing beyond his ability nor his knowledge. He knows all things. And what you have here in the book of 2 Thessalonians revealing for you has to do with the character of God. It has to do with the way God deals with us. In plain words, what's going on here this morning, I hope that I get this across before I finish the message, is that God is going to read your mind while you're in here today. He's going to read your heart. And therefore, my friend, he's going to open you up and unfold to you who you really are. And the problem is, we don't want to know that. We really don't want to know that. The motivation for a lot of people when they come to the Bible is they're looking for something. That's the problem with people. And the problem is today when they go to certain churches, the pastor's up there to try to give them something. The idea is, well, I'm helping people. I don't care if you help people. Give them the Bible. It's not up to us to hand it out like a menu. A pastor's up here with his menu. He thinks, I'm going to help you by saying this. My dear friend, God did not leave it into the hands of that pastor to take that book or anyone and open it up and just dish out what he thinks you need from it. No. Nothing could be further from the truth. Open the book and preach the book. Amen. And God's Holy Ghost will take care of what you need. Because what he's going to do then is begin to speak to you in a way that you may never have been spoken to in your life. God said that if you reject the truth, he's going to damn you. What he's doing by that is measuring your motive. He's saying to you that when you came to church, you heard the truth and you didn't want it. He's saying to you that the truth is staring you in the face and you want something from the Bible other than the truth. You want to be blessed. You want to feel good. You want prosperity. You want stuff. You want things. And my dear friend, believe me, the preachers are standing in line to give you that today. The churches in America are stocked full of that kind of preaching. Yeah. Feel good preaching. Yeah. Folks, sometime God dresses me down with the Word of God. Right. Don't ever get the idea that when I open the Bible that I think I'm some kind of a saint, God eats me alive sometimes. Right. And I have to go and search my heart and my soul. And I have to say to myself, what am I really preaching for? Am I preaching for a salary? What am I here for? What am I on Woodrow Drive for? Am I trying to take somebody's ministry away from them? Am I trying to overshadow somebody? What am I trying to do? What am I here for? Folks, I've lived too long for that. I turned 79 just a few days ago. I don't know how long I'm going to be in this world, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to go out with a gun in my hand. You better believe it. I'm going to die on a hill with a sword in my hand. I am. I'm going to die in the battle. That's where I'm going to be. I hope and pray that God Almighty will allow me to have, as long as I've got time left in this world, he'll allow me to be in the fight. Amen. If you don't want the truth, you won't get the truth. If you want to lie, follow me now. I'm going to give you stuff from the Bible that you will not hear from the average church. But I'm not up here this morning to make you feel good. I'm up here to help you by giving you the Word of God. Amen. I personally cannot just work out what needs to be done, but I can give you what it says. He says that because you love not the truth, but you had pleasure in unrighteousness, that God will send a delusion to make sure you're damned. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. That doesn't sound like the God that I hear. Did you just say to me that God would be personally involved in hardening my heart, blinding my mind, blinding my eyes, and turning me away from the truth? That's what it said, folks. That's what it says. It's not my place to change it and make it say what I want it to say. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 6 says this, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, Jehovah, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Before you jump to conclusions, ask God to give you wisdom and maturity. When he makes a statement like that, in one sense, I can say to you this, nothing is going to come into existence and nothing is going to exist and nothing is going to happen outside of that eternal being that is from everlasting to everlasting. Whether he originates it, in other words, whether his hand is directly involved in making evil, he is saying that I'm God. That's what he just said. I'm the Holy One.
I'm the Lord. If it's here, I'm here. I'm God. And nothing can happen apart and outside of me. He made a statement of his sovereignty. That's what that is. Now get a hold of that this morning. Before you think that everything's run away and the devil's a hold of it all and it's gone and poor God's doing the best he can to keep. No, 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 no. No, no, no. 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 22. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord Jehovah hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. That's what your Bible says. That's a mistranslation, preacher. It's not in the originals. My Hebrew professor said that we need to say that a different way. No, 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 no. Just take what it's got.
That's right.
What it says.
Amen, brother.
God said I'd put a lying spirit. Why? Because that's what they wanted. See, there, here we go now. This is where we're getting into the message this morning. What do you really want?
That's good.
Now, I'm talking about what do you really want?
Yeah.
Some of you want out of here as soon as you can so you can hit the lake and go fishing. Amen. No question about that. Or are you ready for a ball game? Or are you ready for this or that? There's nothing wrong with ball games and fishing and all of that stuff. But what do you really want? Do you really want the truth? This is where God says we're coming down to a time of deception. What if all of a sudden on social media, a video shows up with you, married man, with another woman? What are you talking about? That could happen as surely as you sit in this house this morning, because it's already happening. And this video shows up on social media. God help us with social media. What a thing. And here you are with another woman. Well, of course you'll swear up and down that's not you. You'll say, you'll use every alibi you can. And if you're innocent, you're innocent and so forth and so on. But the truth of the matter is there's a crowd out there that want to believe it. They don't like you and they're looking for reasons to come against you. That's the truth. We live in a time of deception. There was a band, a group of singers. I don't know if I told you about this the other day or not. They, for over a year, they were on social media. They were here, they were there. People that had following of the millions. They interviewed them. What a wonderful group. And they didn't exist. It was all artificial intelligence. They're on there now broadcasting the news. They're giving documentaries. The faces show up. They're saying this, they're saying that. And they're not real. And they're going to perfect it. And once they get it perfected, you will not know who you're talking to. You think God could send them a strong delusion? Do you think it's coming? Do you think it's possible? Sure it is. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. Don't play with God. He's not playing with us this morning. Listen to this. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 16. As also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Did you notice that? They take the Bible and twist it and make it say what they want it to say. Have you ever heard anything like that? Sure. God wants you rich. He wants you healthy. He wants you wealthy. God wants this for you. You're the greatest thing in the world. He has his favor to pour upon you. All you have to do is learn the keys to the kingdom, and you can become and do anything you want to. And that's what the Bible's written for. That's what God's all about. That's why Christ went to the cross, to buy you the riches of everything. And that's who you are. Isn't it wonderful? And when you walk out of the building, you think to yourself, why didn't I love myself before? I am wonderful. I am great. And that's what you're getting in the churches in this country now. It ought to make you puke. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to get real mean with you. Let me talk to your wife and we'll find out how great you are. Amen. Well, let me talk to your husband. Yeah, we'll find out how wonderful you really are. Ain't nobody knows you like your wife or like your husband. Is that not truth? Is that the truth? How many want the truth? The Bible said you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Now listen to this one, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. Now listen to this one. And as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Why do that unless it lets you know it's doing that? You see, when you begin to read the Bible and just get halfway real about it, it'll start reading you. You'll realize you're a hold of something that's bigger than anything you ever picked up in your life. Because it's reading your heart. It's reading your mind. You know, David said this. He said, God, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. When did he say that? You read that in your Bible. It's the book of Psalm, right? Okay. When did he say that as it related to Uriah? It was afterward, wasn't it? Wasn't it? The sweet psalmist of Israel, so beautiful. And I love David. Listen, you hear me preach about David all the time. You don't hear much about Solomon out of me, but you hear a lot about David out of me. And David had his problems, believe me. But he was a man after God's own heart. And it was after he did that to Uriah the Hittite. It was after he did that, put him to death, murdering devil. Yet, he realized that there was something lying deep, deep, deep down inside his soul that he probably never knew it was there till it happened. And when it happened, David said, oh God, search me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Now listen, do you know what self-righteousness is? Self-righteousness is you looking in the face of God and telling God that you know more about what's right and wrong and about sin and the inevitability of sin and the judgment of sin than he does. So therefore, you're going to control your life. And if everything seems okay in your life, you come to the Lord and said, I thank thee, God, that I'm not as other men. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do this. I don't do that. But you're not in fellowship with God. You see, God says to you, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. So you come down to the nitty-gritty, the bottom line, and that's this. I either trust what God says about me and who I am, and by that I can receive the grace of God and be saved, or I trust in my own ability to discern what's right and what's wrong, and I've created this nice little religious bubble that I live in, and I'm happy with who I am, and I walk on in my self-righteousness. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ said this. I didn't come to call the righteous, didn't he? But sinners. Now, but the Bible also says there's none righteous. No, not one. It's like this. It's like when he said, love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't tell them to love themselves. He said, I know you. I know what makes you tick. I know all about you. You do love yourself. I don't need to tell you you love yourself. So love your neighbor like you love yourself. That's the problem. The Bible says no man ever hated his own flesh. It's a thing where he's working with your mind. He's working with you this morning. Well, preacher, I don't know of anything I need to repent of. I mean, good night, man. I mean, I live a pretty... Yeah, that's the problem, you see. You're judging your righteousness by your ability to discern all the sins that may be eating you alive. Sin has a way of deceiving and covering its tracks. It can pose itself as one thing when it's entirely something else. But it can hide behind that. And here you are, you're discerning your spiritual life, your relationship with the Lord. You're doing it. And that's wrong. That's why walking in fellowship with God is so important, because the Holy Ghost will do it and he'll do it right. Amen. But he has his way of doing it. And you have to trust him. You have to say, Lord, I know I'm no count. And I know I've got my problems. But I don't understand why you just keep listening to me and you keep blessing me and I keep coming back and I keep praying, because you want fellowship with him. That's why. You want to walk with him. You want to talk to him. And that's what he wants. That's what he wants. You that don't sin anymore, tell me what kind of sweet fellowship you have with God. I'm listening. Amen. I mean, I have some knocked down, drag out fights with my flesh and the devil. Then I come crawling back to him and he pats me on the head and he brings me right back in there and we have fellowship. Why? Because I come before him and I say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. I wish I could get across that, because that's one of the greatest truths in the Bible. Self-righteousness is an insidious thing. It'll eat your very soul alive. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9. That this is rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, to the prophets, see not, to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. You ought to turn to that one and read it and let it sink in, what I'm reading to you from Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 through 11. They say to the prophets, we don't want to hear what's right. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Do you think that you live in a culture now, that you can find in Romans chapter number 1. For this cause, God gave them up vile affections to do those things which are unseemly, to do those things which were. Do you think you live in that culture? Yes, you do. That's the culture you live in. But don't let it drag you down. All right? Keep your heart open and say to the Lord, Lord, I may not appreciate it. I may not like it. I may not shout under it. But if I need to hear it, I need to hear it. Right? If I need it, I need it. This word smooth things, I looked that up in Hebrew. Do you know what that word means? Flatterous. Yeah. Can you imagine 3,000 years ago, they were no different from us. Their houses weren't quite as expensive. They didn't drive cars 3,000 years ago, but they were just like us. That's why the Bible speaks to us today just like it did to them. We haven't changed any. No, we're high tech, but we're the same people. We're motivated by the same thing. Our hearts think the same way. We are people. And here it is. Prophesy smooth things. Now, I want to take you to a point. And you're looking around you now, okay? You see what's happening in America today. I've been here a while, folks. Been here a while. And there's some movements going on in the country. And I'm all for anything that's got the hand of God in it, right? How do I know the hand of God's in it? Let me tell you how you're going to know the hand of God's in it. It's not because it's religious. And it's not because they preach morality. And it's not because they quote the Ten Commandments. And it's not because they say the things that may sound right. Well, how do you know, preacher? They exalt Christ. They lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he's not lifted up, then folks, I'm uncomfortable with it. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 25, verse number 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord. Now listen to this. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. He just called Nebuchadnezzar a Gentile king. Nebuchadnezzar, folks, you can't defend Nebuchadnezzar. He's all over the book of Daniel. But Nebuchadnezzar, he called him his servant. Why? Well, here's why. Proverbs 21, verse 1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Now, if you see something happening in the country, you see some great movement start up, all right? Use discernment. Use discernment. Don't just jump up against somebody because you may not agree with some this or that. You're not. When you get a bunch of people together, you're not going to have one issue as it relates to baptism or this or that or this or that. As I said a moment ago, if they exalt Christ and you know that he's being exalted and the Holy Ghost is moving in the midst of that, he will, then you know that may be the hand of God in that. But it doesn't make any difference. The hand of God is still in it. Did I confuse you? I hope you're able to see what I'm saying. The hand of God may still be in it, because he said, I turn the king's heart. I raise up, I put down, I open, I shut. Yes, so what you see, it may be happening in the country. God's hand may be in it, but not the way you think. This is where, as a Christian, you should have discernment. You should read your Bible and pray, get in your prayer closet, be in fellowship with the Lord. Don't be led astray. You're going to a church. Some of you may be visitors here from out of state. I think some people from West Virginia back here, maybe other places. When you go back to the churches in that area, what do they preach? Who do they exalt? Who are they lifting up? If they exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost will have freedom to move in that place. The Holy Spirit will not bless a bunch of people that don't exalt the Son of God. Amen. So there's this old boy. You've heard about him. I don't care what you say. I'm against it. I'm against it. I'm against it. How many's ever heard that against it? I guess he means against it. But he said, I'm against it. I'm against it. All right. He's against it just to be against it. He's against it a lot of times just to let him know he's running things. He's a Diotrephes. You see, you don't have to be the chairman of any kind of a board. You don't have to be the head man of any outfit. All you've got to do is be the one who's always against everything. And every time somebody tries to get anything done, they're going to worry about you, and they're going to try to... How many are following what I'm saying today? All right. Nebuchadnezzar was his servant. He said in Habakkuk chapter number 1, verse 5, behold ye young among the heathen. Behold ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation. They're terrible and dreadful. And God said, I'll do it. Now here's the way he works. In Genesis chapter number 15 and verse 13. Now watch this. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. They'll become slaves. And they shall afflict them for 400 years. God says, you're going to go down there, and this is going to happen. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. Did you follow that? God said, you're going to go into that country, in Egypt. You're going to be in slavery for 400 years. All right. I'm going to let it happen, because it is there that you will be born as a nation, and you will come out of that place, and you'll come out of there hungry, and I'll show you what the blood can do to deliver you. And then I'll judge that nation. Nation's against nation today, isn't it? Look at Israel. Look at the European powers. We're in a two-state solution. Somebody comes in and has peace. Going to be some kind of a peace agreement made. That's all wonderful. Watch for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter number 3, verse 19. I would that you turn there with me, because this is important. John 3:19, the Gospel of John. This is the condemnation. John 3:19. What does that mean? This is the way I'm going to judge. This is the basis of my judgment upon you, me, anyone. If I had not come, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light
is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Right? What did he say? He said, because you choose to live the way you want to live, and you don't want any God telling you how to live, even though you are confronted with the light, blazing light of the truth of who Christ is and who you really are, you choose to reject it because you want to continue in your darkness. He said, that's what I judge you for. Light rejected becomes lightning. He told them, if I had not come and done the miracles that you've seen me do, you would have no sin. He said, if I had not come into your midst and I had not been here the way I am, you would not be held accountable. All right? Light rejected becomes lightning. Think about this. Matthew chapter number 12. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, Matthew 12:31. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Did Saul of Tarsus speak a word against the Son of Man, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter? If any man ever walked this earth that cursed the name of Christ, it was Saul of Tarsus. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, nor in the world to come. We have Pharisees, Sadducees, the religious leaders of Israel. Here's a man that they could not deny that he was doing things that they could not explain. He had been raising the dead. John 11, he raised Lazarus from the dead. They ran back and reported it to their leaders. You remember that case? They reported it. What did they do? Instead of accepting the fact, maybe God's hand is in this, they shut him off. That is speaking against the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is here to convince us of sin because we believe not on Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit is to point you to the Son of God. All right? Why did he say that to them and he didn't say anything like that to Saul of Tarsus? Do you know why? Because Saul of Tarsus had no light. Saul of Tarsus thought in his heart what he was doing was for God. And he was moving headlong and headstrong into the darkness and driving to Damascus. And the Lord met him on the way. And he met me on the way. And you can think I'm crazy if you want to. That's all right with me. But I came face to face with God in 1973. And that changed my life. He changed it forever. And the older I get, the more I thank him for it. Because he came to me. And I say to him, Lord, why did you come to me? Who am I? Who am I? But it's undeniable. I cannot deny what I know he did. Because one moment I could not have cared less if there was a God. I played the pinball machine. I didn't care anything about eternity. Didn't care anything about the Bible. I didn't want to go to church. None of it. And then all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, he came to me. Man, did he come to me. Oh boy, and those of you who know what conviction feels like, then you know how I felt. And boy, did the light ever come on. And I bless his name this morning. Hallelujah to God. And I take no credit for anything. He came to me. But Saul of Tarsus, he came to him. What did he say when he met him on the road to Damascus? He said, what now? Who art thou? Wait a minute. Hold on. You're dead and you're gone. Yeah, that's what you want. Now, he didn't say that, but in his mind, he was thinking, wait a minute now. This is just the way a bunch of idiots, a bunch of fools out here trying to mess up
Judaism. And here they are starting some new movement, and they're going to drag people off. God said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. And that's when he had to make his decision on the spot. He made it. He made it. He made it. You cannot blaspheme the Holy Ghost if the Holy Ghost is not there. Now, meditate on that. You cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit without the Holy Spirit being there to blaspheme. And he's all over America. But there are places in this world that it is darker than you can ever imagine darkness. And you mention the Holy Spirit to them, they don't have a clue what you're talking about. Aren't you blessed? Aren't you blessed? Yes, you're blessed. Yes, you're blessed. You're not held accountable for rejecting the Holy Spirit unless he's there. And he's here. And here you are now. Has it opened up anything in your heart? Has the Holy Spirit, has the Word of God, has the light of Christ gotten a hold of you and begin to say, now, you know, that preacher up there doesn't really know personally about who you really are and kind of life you're living, but boy, he did touch on a few things that kind of made uncomfortable, kind of got home, didn't he? Maybe after all, there's more going on here. Yes, something's eating at you. It's bothering you. Yes, it is. That's because you allow the Holy Spirit right now to do what he wants to do in your life. If you just let him do what he wants to do in your life, he'll bring you to greater light. Oh, yes, he will. He'll bring you to Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I can't do that, but he can. He can bring you to Christ. He can bring you to the Son of God. Now, here's the question. Do you want the truth? Say, I don't want the truth, and you're damned. Right? I don't take any pleasure in that, and I'm not the one that does it. I'm just a preacher. But if you don't want the truth, God says, you're going to get a lie, and I'm going to make sure you get that lie, and you're going to be deceived, and you're going to be damned. Isn't that awful? Isn't that scary? Now, here's some of the truth. The truth about yourself, who you really are. Come face to face with that this morning. The truth about the Scripture. This book is alive. The truth about hell. There really is a hell, folks. I know some of the prosperity preachers, you'll never hear it out of them, but there is a hell. And the truth about salvation. Salvation is not mumbling a sinner's prayer. Salvation is not being baptized back here in the pool. Salvation is not somebody waving their hand over you and confirming you and say, well, you believe everything you're supposed to believe, you're okay. Salvation is a person who takes up residence inside you that wasn't in there before. The Lord Jesus Christ is salvation. The salvation of God is a person. You either receive that person, receive the Lord Jesus, take hold of him in whatever way you can. You believe on him, you take hold of him, and you trust him, and you come out of the darkness you're in, and he'll give you more light. And you say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you. Lord Jesus, I've tried the church. I've been baptized. I've prayed. I've done it all, but it hadn't done me any good. That's because you haven't taken the Son. He'll do you good. He'll do you good. Try him. Try him. I'm not preaching a dead Savior to you this morning. I'm preaching somebody that's alive. He lives. Christ Jesus lives. And because he live, I live. Hallelujah to God, he's alive. Would you take him or reject him? Here's another opportunity before you walk out the door this morning. Are you going to receive him or are you going to reject him again? The only thing I have to offer you if you reject him again is damnation. That's all. But if you receive him, hallelujah to God, you'll say as you walk out this house, why didn't I do this before? Why didn't I do this before? I can't believe what it's done for me. What a difference it's made in my life. Somebody moved in. It's wonderful. Oh, I want to sing. I want to get in the choir. I want to read the Bible. I want to pray. I want to glorify his holy name. Why didn't I do it before? What a fool I've been. Oh, what a change can take place. If you know him,
If you know him, bow your head. Lord Jesus, I've delivered my soul. I'm at peace. I've done what I'm supposed to do, Lord. That's who I am, what I am. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. That's where I am. That's who I am. But, oh, God, now it's way past me. It's way past me. Whole lot bigger one than me now. Takes what's been said. Move in their hearts. Bring somebody in here this morning. Let them meet you face to face. Anybody raise your hand and say, Preacher Lawson, I don't know him yet. I don't know him. I really don't know him. Would you pray for me? I'll pray for you. Better believe it. And nobody's going to drag anybody to any altar, but we'll pray for you. Anybody raise your hand and say, Preacher Lawson, something happened this morning. God spoke to me in a way I've never been spoken to. There's hands up back there. God bless you. Hallelujah to God. God spoke to me that in a way today that I've never been spoken to before. He's kind of opening me up, preacher. He's showing me what's really going on deep down inside. God bless you. Another hand back here. He's opening me up. Oh, preacher. I don't want to be guilty of turning that light away and walking back into the darkness. I want the light in my soul. I want him. I want my Savior. I want Jesus, the Lord Jesus. I want him as my Savior. Anybody else raise your hand this morning? Father, in thy holy name, Lord, I pray now. You know who I am, what I am. I'm just the messenger. I'm just the preacher, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost do his work. Draw men to Christ. Lift up that blessed, righteous, beautiful Son of God. Lift up his holy, holy, holy name. Lift him up before men. Bless his righteous, the righteous one. Hallelujah to God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Lift him up. He must increase and I must decrease. Lift him up. In your holy name I pray. Amen. All right, let's stand up and sing. And while we're singing, would you like to come down here and pray with us? We'd be glad to meet you and pray with you.